Well, if our friend Tom Houston were here, he'd say hello there and welcome to the Blind Handyman, but he's not here. In fact, we've set all the hammers and saws and implements of woodworking and home making on the porch, and we're going to cook today instead of doing Blind Handyman show. We're going to do a cook. That's right. Cooking on the Blind Handyman. Well, that's handy stuff, too, see? That would qualify as handyman stuff, because you have to cook. I cook. Dale cooks. We hope lots of you cook. So we're going to do big Thanksgiving dinner today. We have many, many things planned. And, of course, we have with us the cooking in the dark man, Dale Campbell. Sir, how are you?
I am doing great, Mr. Parr. Happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody out there listening to us today.
Yeah.
I want to give thanks to the handyman for packing up their tools and just hanging out on the porch and watching us cook today.
Yeah, we're ready. Cooking in the dark for 2 hours today.
2 hours of uninterrupted cooking fun.
That's
what we do at Cooking in the Dark. We have fun doing it. Man, we are doing so good today. I want to thank all the folks at Butterball for donating a big, fat, 16-pound Butterball turkey. You know, Thanksgiving's a great time to be alive. Unless
it
you're
is.
A turkey, they say. So today on the menu, everybody, and I can hear Tom Houston and Don Shaw and Patterson all licking their lips in the background there.
Yeah.
We've got a big old turkey we're going to cook.
All
we're
right.
also going to do a couple stuffings. On the Cooking in the Dark list, I ask everybody to send in stuffings, and we got bombarded with stuffings, great recipes. Sue in Wyoming sent us in a great one. Richard Hembarger in California sent us like five or six. Henry Casson up in Dallas sent us down a couple. And what I ended up doing, everybody, was just taking a kind of a combination of all of them and mixing them all in. So we've got one, we're calling it the All-American Stuffing. We've also got one that my stepmother sent us that is a crock-pot stuffing. And I'm like, crock-pot stuffing? That's right up my alley.
Yeah.
Throw it in this crock-pot and just let it go.
All right.
Also on the menu today, we've got some desserts. We've got a key lime pie sent to us by Henry Casson again up in Dallas. We've got a pecan pie. We've also got a chocolate raspberry almond cheesecake.
Oh, yeah.
Very simple and just as tasty.
Mm.
And then for our side items for today, we're going to do a green bean casserole, sweet potatoes, mashed potatoes, and we're also going to take the gravy, the pan drippings from our turkey when it's done, and make a nice gravy to go with our mashed potatoes.
Okay.
In between there, we're also going to throw in a cranberry jalapeno relish, because it just wouldn't be cooking in the dark Houston style without jalapenos in something.
Cranberry jalapeno relish.
It's going to be good.
Have you made this before?
Yes, and it is delicious.
I cannot imagine the two tastes blending. Cranberries.
It's basically some cranberries, a lime, and jalapenos and a little cilantro.
Well, I'm going to have to try this.
It is excellent. And we're going to try to also do some beer bread, I guess, rolls, if you will. It's actually a recipe for a loaf of bread, but we're going to try to break it down and make some rolls out of it. So without further ado, gobble, gobble, I guess it's time to get the turkey out of the refrigerator.
All right. It's still in the fridge. You haven't done it
yet? Yeah, actually, it's laying in the sink right now. And during the introduction, he hopped out and was trying to get away, but we caught him. You
That'll
know, Chelsea
happen.
Got him at the door.
That'll happen, yeah.
Now, folks, when y'all get a turkey, seeing how this is going to be airing just about a week before Thanksgiving, it takes about a day to thaw, a day for every 4 pounds is what they estimate of a bird to thaw out. So, like this guy, 16-pound bird, it took him 4 days to thaw.
Now, did you thaw him in the fridge?
Thawed him in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Yeah, they recommend thawing in the refrigerator because of all that salmonella and all those nasty things that'll happen.
Well,
there
yeah.
is a quick thaw method, though. It is basically you put him in the sink, fill the sink with water, and about every 30 to 45 minutes you come and change the water out, and that is to allow it to thaw rather quickly if you're in that jam. But you can also pick up turkeys that are fresh,
mm-hmm.
that don't need thawing. So don't be like the new bride we saw walking down the aisle of the grocery store last year. She had about a 20-pound turkey in her basket, and it was the day before Thanksgiving.
Did you
turkey was not going to be ready to eat.
Did you talk to her about that? Did you?
No, we just kind of, we were after lobster last year. We did Thanksgiving lobster. You know, they were red, and it was just the season, and anyway, it was kind of warm out. It didn't feel like Thanksgiving turkey weather to us.
Thanksgiving lobster.
Thanksgiving lobster. Only in Texas. Shrimp on the side.
That's most interesting. I could get into that. All right, go ahead.
All right, so with our turkey, what we've done is taken him out of the wrapper, and pretty much just kind of cleaned him off, washed the outside of him with water, and then we've cleaned out the inside of his cavities. Now, you need to wash out his cavities pretty well. In the rump cavity, the butt cavity, I guess you can call it, you'll find his, usually his turkey neck. You want to remove it, and then in the neck cavity, you will find his the gizzard and the heart and all that good stuff.
Yeah, wrapped up in a plastic sack, right?
Right, they're wrapped up in plastic bags. Now, there are gravies that you can make using these, but we're not going to be doing that today.
So we're just going to throw them away?
Yeah, I'm just going to throw them away. Now, if you wanted to make a gravy with them, you can take them and boil them up. You don't want to boil the liver, though. Leave the liver out because for taste reasons. Boil the neck and the heart and the rest of the stuff that's in there. And also add to it some onion, some celery, some parsley, salt, pepper, and boil that in about 5 cups of water. Bring it up to a boil, and then you want to let it simmer for about an hour and a half.
Well, and if you have a puppy dog, he'll bite you if you throw that stuff away.
Oh, that turkey bone, he likes that.
Yeah.
But that's how you can make a broth if you want to use the giblets for a giblet gravy. The gravy we're going to use, we're just going to use pan drippings right out of the pan. And we've got old Tom here washed. Now the butter balls, they're behind the legs are kind of tucked under a flap of skin by the bottom cavity. Now on some other turkeys, you may find a little piece of metal in there that's holding the legs in place.
Yeah, I've seen that.
This kind of depends on the brand of turkey.
Yeah, and you need to get rid of that metal or untuck those legs.
Yeah, get rid of that metal and untuck the legs for the time being because we're going to stuff our bird. I made that all-American stuffing a little bit ahead of time just because we're kind of pressed for time and we've got so many things on the menu.
Uh-huh.
Now, the all-American stuffing basically had about one bag of cornbread stuffing in it. It had two medium onions chopped up pretty fine. It had 4 1/2 celery stalks chopped up pretty fine. 3/4 of a cup of walnuts crushed up. It also called for, in this recipe, some salt, a little bit of pepper, and then we also added 3 to 4 large apples, peeled and diced. Mm-hmm. Put that all in a bowl, mix it up real nice, add about 3/4 of a cup of butter. And actually, the onions and celery, you want to saute those in a pan. I added some fresh mushrooms also. But go ahead and saute those in a pan and cook them up first. Pour that over the top of your stuffing. And then come back, and in the same pan, you want to brown like a pound of sausage. And I used some Jimmy Dean hot sausage. Just ground it up in the pan. Once it was brown, dumped it on top of the stuffing, mixed everything in together, added the extra butter that we needed, put it in there. And then to moisten it, you don't use chicken broth or turkey broth, but you actually use apple cider. And I put in about 1.5 cups of apple cider, just because I like my stuffing a little bit more moist.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've got his legs out of the way.
All right.
And I'm stuffing him up here. And when you stuff the bird, you want to make sure and stuff it pretty loosely. You don't want it packed in there real tight, because that won't let it cook well. And it is recommended that you can stuff the bird as long as, like, everything you're stuffing him with is already pre-cooked. That way you want...
So the stuffing does not cook in the bird. It is pre-cooked.
Yeah, the stuffing is pretty much pre-cooked. All the ingredients, the onions, the celery, the mushrooms, the sausage, so that you're not depending on the temperature of the bird or inside the cavities to actually cook the stuffing. Now what I've got is his rear, his bottom cavity stuffed. I'm going to put the legs back in the flap just to help hold the stuffing in place. I'm going to go ahead and put a little stuffing in his neck cavity.
Now, that'll kind of close that bottom cavity, the inset cavity where all the stuff was.
It really does. It helps close it up and just keep everything kind of in place there so you don't end up with stuffing falling out everywhere.
Now, there's nothing in the neck cavity to take out.
No, I've already removed the giblets that were tucked up in there.
Okay.
And make sure you do remove those.
Yeah,
I had an old roommate in college. He made that mistake. He didn't do that.
Yeah, if you buy a turkey from the grocery store, I've never seen one that didn't. You're going to have some plastic sacks in there with the liver and gizzard in it, and be sure you get those out, because you're going to have a mess if you don't.
Yes, you will. It'll be one nasty experience.
Yeah, it really would be. Surely everybody, I guess everybody knows, haven't you? Soon people know things, and sometimes
they
don't.
But if not, hey, they do now.
Sometimes they don't, and so we've told them.
The blind handyman. Who would have thought it today?
Who would have thought it today, man? What a deal.
All right. Now I'm going to take the old bird here.
All right.
And I'm using a Reynolds cooking bag, baking bag, to bake him in. This allows us to cook the bird a little bit at a higher temperature, at about 350 degrees instead of 3 1/4.
Now, tell us about this baking bag.
Bag actually feels more like just simply a large
paper bag.
Plastic bag actually is kind of what it feels like. I'm assuming it's kind of a foil coating like Reynolds has.
Well, I've cooked them in a grocery bag.
Yes.
And if you
Sue wrote in and said you can cook them in you can use a paper bag.
You can.
A brown paper sack.
True.
That you get from the old grocery store. One trick to it is to make sure you coat the entire thing with butter.
The inside.
The inside of it.
With butter or some sort of olive oil or something.
Yeah,
some sort
of. Now, yeah, butter's recommended just because you can get it in a stick and it's real easy to put in there. But you want to make sure you coat that whole thing.
But and you think, well, golly, this paper sack is going to catch fire. No, it won't.
It won't. Just don't let it touch the...
No, it doesn't need to touch the oven element. But
no, you want to make sure that when you do this, you put your rack on the bottom.
Yeah, on the bottom.
Plenty of room in there.
Because the turkey's going to stick up some, and so you... But if you don't have a cooking bag and you have a turkey, get it, find it, look around and rummage around and find a paper sack. And, of course, you have to tie the end of it up, don't you?
Yeah, it comes with a string, or I just tied the end of it up in a knot here.
This cooking bag.
Then you want to cut, like, 6 to 7 little half-inch slots in the top of it.
Uh-huh.
And that'll allow the steam to escape. Now, Vicky Jack, a list member in Washington, wrote in, and the way she does her turkeys is she steam roasts them. She puts them in a covered roasting pan, an oval roasting pan, adds about 1 inch of water to the turkey, starts it off breast down.
Okay.
Kind of butters the turkey up, salt and pepper, doesn't season it just yet.
Are we talking in the oven with this?
Uh-huh. Pop it in the oven at 475 degrees with the breast down.
Ooh.
Cooks it for an hour that way.
Uh-huh.
Pull it back out. Flip it over, and at this point you butter it and season it. Drop the temperature in the oven. And I think you hit it again, and then you let it go for about another hour and a half, I believe. I may be mistaken on that. But
at what temperature?
At about 450, I believe.
But this stuff is on the list somewhere. I mean,
this was on the cooking list, and everybody come on to the cooking in the dark list and ask Vicky to repeat how she does it, and I know she would be thrilled to let everybody know.
Probably would be.
And to subscribe to the cooking list, it's Cooking in the Dark. At topica.com. To subscribe, send an email to cookinginthedark-subscribe, all lowercase, all squished together, at topica.com. Topica is T-O-P-I-C-A, just like topic, with an A on the end of it.
Topica.com.
And you'll be on the Cooking in the Dark list.
Yeah.
We've really grown, too. It's really a pretty fine list there.
How many do you have?
We're up to about 130 last time I checked.
Is that
right? And
that
fluctuates. It comes and goes.
Yeah, the handyman list does too. It's been up to 200. The handyman list has, but it's down. People get on a list. I guess they get tired of the same because you got 130 people. You got the same people writing in a lot of times.
Right. You sure do.
So,
and that makes it good. I mean, we've got people on the Cooking in the Dark list as far away as Australia, New Zealand. And, I didn't really realize it, but, gosh, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
In Australia?
Australia, mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I guess that's kind of an American holiday, We Indians showed us how to cook with, or plant with fish and do all that thing. And
yeah.
It was the old pilgrims that got it going.
Squanto and Massasoit, all that, yeah.
Right. So, all right, now that we've done our stuffing, let's talk about our crock pot stuffing.
All right, you're going to put turkey in the oven now?
Turkey is in the oven.
Oh, it is in the oven.
We are in the oven at 350 degrees,
uh-huh.
And it will probably take about, it's estimated about 3 hours, according to the directions inside the Reynolds bag.
Okay.
Now, you want to cook a turkey to where if you check the temperature around at the thigh, the deepest part of the thigh, to be about 180 degrees. With stuffing in it, you want the bird, you want the stuffing, the internal temperature of the stuffing, to be 165 degrees. Now, at Blind My Smart, we do have some tactile thermometers that are available that you can stick in and actually feel. It's marked in increments of 20 degrees from 140 to 220 degrees, I believe, is the run of that. So it is a little tactile thing that you can feel the different bumps and kind of see what the temperatures are at.
Well, wait a minute now. This goes to how much? To 220, you say?
Yeah, to 220.
From
it's a meat thermometer.
It's a meat thermometer. Okay, mm-hmm. Here's
there's
the thing.
There's also a candy thermometer that goes up to, I believe, 500 degrees, 450 or 500 degrees.
Now, this thermometer has something on it that moves?
Yeah, where the dial is, where like a normal thermometer or some meat thermometers, that has a dial that you look at.
Sure.
Kind of like a compass with a little needle and a gauge. This one doesn't have a glass cover on it, so that you can actually feel the needle and feel where the bumps are at.
And I'll be darned.
So you can detect the temperature. Now, we're still looking for a talking thermometer, which would be really great.
Oh, wouldn't it?
But we ran across one, but it was almost $200. So I thought, you know, and not knowing how it was going to work or not work, we decided to kind of just not mess with it.
$200.
Yeah, for a thermometer.
That's a little high. But, you know, I don't know if you heard this guy. There's a guy, we had a guy on the blind like me that made him one.
Oh, no way.
He took a thermocouple and made himself a talking thermometer because this guy's roasting coffee.
And so,
So he needs...
Yeah, the unseen bean.
Yeah, the unseen bean. He needs...
Jerry Leary.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I should have some of his coffee coming today.
Really?
Yeah. Jerry and I are teaming up to where we're going to offer his coffee through Blind My Smart.
Well, you need to talk him into building us some talking thermometers. He built him one. Call him and ask him about it.
Jerry, you need to make us some talking thermometers.
That's
buddy.
Right. Well,
I'm sure, and everybody on the list, I'm sure, is asking for one right now, too. Hey! Email Jerry at info@theunseenbean.com. Tell him you want a talking thermometer.
I believe the man could sell 100 of those tomorrow.
Oh, easily.
And, you know, he ought to think about that.
He sure should.
Unless he's independent.
Okay, we're going to be moving on now to the crockpot stuff. And the crock pot stuffing, y'all, is so easy. I mean, again, it's done in a crock pot. I've got the six-quart crock pot out. To that, I've added 12 cups of cornbread stuffing, which comes out to be like two 16-ounce bags of stuffing.
Which you bought.
Which I bought at the store.
Okay.
Right. I didn't make it from bread or anything like that. This is, or bake the cornbread and use it. I just use the old cornbread.
Pepperidge Farm or something.
Easy today.
Yeah.
And you need to add about a cup of melted butter, two beaten eggs, about 2 cups of chopped onions, and about 6 ounces of sliced mushrooms. I used fresh mushrooms, or you can use canned. And about 2 cups of chopped up celery. A teaspoon of poultry seasoning, a teaspoon of salt, and a teaspoon of sage, and then about 4 cups of chicken broth. What you want to do is put all these ingredients into a bowl, mix them all up, mix your dry ingredients up first, and then add the chicken broth and the butter and the eggs. Mix it all up nice and wonderful, and then spoon it into your crock pot. Put it on high for about the first hour. And then you'll want to switch it to low and let it cook on low from anywhere from 2 to 6 hours. And that's it. That's all there is to the crock pot stuffing.
Now,
I've been told I haven't had it, but we will be having it this evening.
It's really delicious. I had a little nap there. What's the liquid you used?
The liquid is chicken broth.
About
4 cups of chicken broth.
And you may think that's too much, but some of that will go away.
Actually, I was thinking it wasn't enough because when I put it in, it still seemed not moist enough.
Oh.
So in mine, I actually added about a half a cup more water.
Uh-huh.
Just because I do like stuffing a little moister than some, and that's personal preference. If you like your stuffing a little drier, put a little less liquid in it.
Are you going to do that today? I mean, are we just talking about that?
It's already in the crock pot and going.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I did that a little ahead of time, too. I've been up Got up a little early this morning for the show since it was such a big show. I was all excited.
So you must be having folks over tonight or something for...
Yeah, we're going to have a... We've got to have. Otherwise, Candace is saying, we're going to have all this food in here. I'm going to get fat.
Yeah.
It's my fault, you know?
Yeah.
So we've got some friends coming over, and anybody else, any wayward sons that come by, that tell them, you know, bring your own plate and bring your own bib and
that's
stop
right.
on by.
Well, you know,
that's
food.
Houston, Texas, everybody. But, oh, by the time you hear this, it's too late. We've already had it.
That's right. It's done.
It's done and done, been eaten. But we'll
been
be happy
eaten.
To grab your address and come eat this meal at your place again.
Yep.
All right. So now I guess we're getting ready to do the, let's do the fruit salad real fast. It's a 24-hour salad. And what this is going to consist of is two cans of pineapple tidbits or chunks, two jars of Queen Anne cherries, two cans of mandarin oranges, and one bag of marshmallows. Then you want to combine all of those, let them sit, and then we're going to toss them with a little salad dressing or a little dressing that we will make. And the dressing is basically the juice of one lime.
All right.
I'm sorry, one lemon. And you know, and that was the lemon that got away earlier, Phil.
But we found it.
But we found it.
Yeah.
To that also is a half a cup of sugar, a half a cup of pet milk or evaporated milk, and four egg yolks. You want to combine all these ingredients and then heat them and stir constantly until they start to get, until it starts to thicken. Once this starts to thicken, then we want to stop, let it cool. Once it cools completely, then we'll toss the salad or the fruit with the dressing. And then this is where it gets its name, 24 hours. Once that is created and done, you're supposed to put it in the refrigerator and let it chill for 24 hours.
All right.
But you don't have to. It's just as good ready to eat. After it chills a little bit in there, then as not. After it chills a little bit, you're going to take a carton of whipping cream, an 8-ounce carton, whip it up, and also add that to the dressing, or add that to the fruit, and also some, about a half a cup of pecans, all chopped up.
Yeah, I would think cold would be better.
Yeah, definitely. Toss it all in, and again, it's kind of like the cranberry relish we'll be making. By letting it sit, the flavors really start to mellow a lot.
Sure, they start to mingle better, and it's
they sure do.
It's like chili; it's always better the second day.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
All right. Getting the lemon squeezed in here. We'll get a little fire under the saucepan.
Okay, so you're actually making this.
Yeah, this we're actually going to do right here live.
My God, it's the food you're going to have. It's amazing. What's he going to do with all that food? Well, I wish
you guys got time to get down here.
Well, I'm going to be firmly in the 190s by the time I eat that big Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
That is my I've come down. I've lost about 12 pounds so far. I'm at about 199. I'm going to be at 194 or 5 before I eat that stuffing my wife makes. So I'm on rice and bird's nests all week.
I think everybody's on the on their pre-Thanksgiving feast diet,
well,
aren't they?
I am. I've been just doing cereal and juice bars and just, you know, very little.
Right.
Just trying to lose that poundage that I gained. I gained on that San Francisco trip. I didn't eat anything but fish, but I ate a hell of a lot of it.
You ate it all up, huh?
Oh man, we did some eating, and of course in every restaurant you go in, they've got a nice loaf of fresh bread, and I'm a fool for bread.
Oh yeah.
So
well, and then the fish too. It's not just the fish, but it's everything they put on it.
Yeah.
All the extras and all the toppings and the...
Well, I came home 8 pounds heavier than when I went to San Francisco. I did. That's, you know, I gained 8 pounds in a 10-day vacation. I gained 8 pounds. Now, how could you do that?
Wow. It's a good thing you didn't stay out there any longer.
Oh, I had to work at it. But
you would have had to buy two seats to fly back on.
But I'm coming down. I don't
all
feel,
right.
You know, my age, you don't feel good when you're that heavy, you know. Old men like me.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, recently I was contacted by a company called Assistech. They have a talking barcode reader called the Voila.
Yeah?
And I've recently got one and have been using it. Great little tool.
How much is this little tool?
It retails for right around $200 to $220, depending on the vendor you buy it from. I've heard that MaxiAids has it, as well as Independent Living Aids.
Yeah.
And Blind Mice Mart will start to carry it beginning, I would say, the 1st of December.
But you went ahead and got you one.
I went ahead and bought me one, yeah. And it is a really nice little device. It's if anybody has ever had one of those little fire starters, it's a little wand fire starter device.
Yeah, I've got one.
It feels similar to that.
Okay.
It has two buttons on top of it. One button is oval and one is round, so you can pretty much determine what they are.
Uh-huh.
You hold the item kind of like a pin, and they have special barcodes that you buy from the company. That's an 8-digit barcode that you scan the item across the barcode, and if there's nothing been recorded, it says clear label, at which point you push the round button, the other button on the device, and it'll say recording, and you simply record in what the item is. So you can record directions to a product, anything like that. You're allowed about 3 seconds per barcode. And right now the unit has in its memory or its capability the ability to remember 250 different labels.
Okay, but now it doesn't come with any barcodes in it.
It'll come with 50 barcodes, and you can order extra barcodes. I had them ship me an extra 50, and so far I haven't even gone through the first 50. But I went through and labeled a lot of my spices and such.
Now,
different items, like when we went to the grocery store shopping for all these items, I just had them, hey, hang on, you know, ran, scanned the little item, barcode, stuck it on the can. They're adhesive labels, so they stick on. They're removable, so you can use them again. They also, at the end of the barcodes, they also have little holes in them so that you can put a rubber band through them or something, you know, and just rubber band them around a can or something if you need to do that.
Okay, so this is a label that you put on a box of Post Toasties.
Right. It
you
will
put
not
it on
read
and
a,
then,
a regular UPC symbol.
And then you scan that barcode that you just attached to that box of cereal into your reader.
Right.
And it will remember you. Do you have a place
yeah,
to
what
say?
I pulled down a can of a little jar of spice here.
Okay.
Now I'm.
Yeah.
Ground ginger.
Ground ginger.
Ground ginger. Oh, now, did you? Was that you saying ground ginger?
Yes. You record your voice into this.
Now,
if I want to change this.
Okay.
Let me scan it again.
Ground
now I push the button again to record.
Recording.
This is a spice ground ginger live on Cooking in the Dark.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Now let me scan it again.
All right. Let's do it. That's pretty cool.
That is it. It's very small, very portable. It comes in a case that's about the size of a video cassette case.
And the voice is just immensely under...
the voice is really
you know.
Great.
Well, let's
but no more messing around and actually, you know, getting the wrong can or trying to, you know, only buy certain cans of this or that to come home with because, you know, you don't have this right or that right.
Yeah.
None of that. It is a really a truly cool little device.
So you're going to have
there's another
those...
device out on the market called the ID Mate. And you know Kevin has that. Alabama Kevin
has the ID Mate.
Has the ID Mate.
He didn't bring it with him.
No, he didn't. It that device. It's portable. It
uh-huh.
costs $1,600, and they've just recently upgraded it to 128 meg little flash card memory.
Uh-huh.
And it has 700,000 barcodes stored in it. That are all like store UPC symbols and stuff.
And so, but it'll read the store UPC.
It
symbol.
Reads the store UPC.
Whereas
this one does not. Now, the other one, the ID Mate, also comes with blank labels so that you can put it on, you know, clothing. It has iron-on labels for clothes.
Yeah.
It has some banded reusable ones that, you know, you simply flip around something. And then it also has adhesive labels that you can put on CDs or important files, paperwork, multiple uses. I've already thought about using, you know, some of these adhesive labels that I have on this barcode reader. I was out in the garage yesterday putting it on some of my stains and different paints and different screws and things. I've got all my screws and everything in clear containers broken down, you know, by different sizes and everything and types. But
yeah.
I've got them braille, but good night. Me reading braille is about like me reading a print newspaper right now. It's just not
going to
work.
I tell you what I did. I put my, they make this, you've seen these, you probably have one. It's an organizer. It has probably 30 little drawers in it.
Right.
And I just put them from small to large going up. So and I just look and find, and the one I want is put them in you know, in little drawers. That works good for me. But this, I mean, in your kitchen, you're not going to have over 25 spices.
Not usually, no.
And
no,
so,
I mean, up here we've got, you know, cinnamon, and we've got, for the show I needed to pick up some nutmeg and some ginger, and, you know, there was some stuff we didn't have. And, of course, by going through and organizing, we had, you know, three containers of apple pie spice, and we had, you know, so we were kind of able to consolidate a little bit.
We need to get, what are you doing?
Well,
what are you doing
now? I'm reaching out a pan here real fast.
Okay, I was running what you were doing. Now, this is the pan that you cooked. What are we cooking in? We're starting on the fruit salad?
Yeah, the salad. In fact, the little, what do you want to call it? The dressing, I guess, we made to toss with the fruit salad is cooling.
Okay.
So I'm going to let it, set it off to the side and let it cool. Get another bowl out here. And what shall we do, Phil? Shall we do a... How about a key lime pie?
That would be good. We're I tell you what, we're at 31 minutes. You want to take a break and
organize
for just a second? Why don't we do that? And I've got a little something I can run, and we're back in just a minute. We're cooking in the dark on the Blind Handyman Show today with the Dale Campbell. Be right back.
You'll probably never need titillating tidbits to make you think on the blind side. Here's Don Patterson.
Auntie MacDonald was a member of the New York Public Library's Women's Auxiliary in 1948 when, as she says, the letters started to arrive. Letters from soldiers who had lost their sight in combat during World War II. According to MacDonald, the stories were all the same. The soldiers had returned home anxious to move on with their lives. The newly passed GI Bill of Rights provided that opportunity, guaranteeing a college education to the veterans of the war. But for those blinded veterans, one major obstacle prevented them from taking advantage of this opportunity: the inaccessibility of college textbooks. MacDonald knew that few veterans could read Braille, and live readers were difficult to find. So the Women's Auxiliary moved on to a more creative solution, and Recordings for the Blind was born. They transformed the attic of the New York Public Library into a studio and began recording textbooks for the servicemen using what was then state-of-the-art technology, 6-inch vinyl soundscriber phonograph disc that played only 12 minutes of material per side. By 1951, RFB had incorporated as the nation's only nonprofit organization to record textbooks. The following year, MacDonald traveled across the country to establish other recording studios. Today, RFB&D boasts 29 recording studios staffed by a force of more than 5,000 volunteers. By 1970, RFB&D found itself serving an increasing number of people with learning disabilities. In recognition of this fact, the name was changed in 1995 to the Recordings for the Blind and Dyslexic. Today, RFB&D serves more than 116,000 people worldwide and distributes 250,000 titles. Those being served include students in kindergarten through graduate school, as well as working professionals. From the beginning, Ms. MacDonald believed that education was a right, not a privilege. On the Blind Side, I'm Don Patterson.
On the Blind Side, answering questions nobody asks.
Build a dream house, oh Lord, dear. Close to the sun in a day. Near to the moon at night.
Well, Well, we caught the satellite playing a little tune by Diana Krall there, didn't we? A little,
little
jazz music. Dale Campbell is cooking in the dark, and we're doing that on the Blind Handyman today. 2 hours of cooking, and I don't know where we are. Maybe you do, Dale.
We have the turkey in the oven. Old Tom is not gobbling anymore. He's starting to sizzle a little bit. We also have him stuffed with an All-American, all cooking in the dark stuffing. We have a crock pot stuffing going also. We have a 24-hour salad sent in to us by Janice, Henry's lovely wife up in Dallas, that is just waiting for the dressing to be cooled so we can toss it with it and put it in the refrigerator to chill.
All right.
And we are right about ready to make this key lime pie. Now, folks, okay. If y'all are trying to keep up, write down these recipes. Don't worry about it. All you got to do if you're at your computer listening is go to www.blindmicemart.com, click on the Cooking in the Dark link, and all the recipes are right there.
Okay.
Cut and paste if you would like. If you know how to do it, you can copy and download that whole file. Whatever you want to do, it's right there for you.
All right.
Make it easy this year with all these recipes. I was sitting there trying to memorize them all, Phil. I was like, good night. I don't know
and
how
you,
I'm going to do this.
But you did the easy thing. You did the little recorder.
Yeah, I'm using my little digital recorder, kind of cheating as we go just to...
Well,
heck, it's not cheating.
No,
if
it's not.
If we could see, folks, we'd have the recipes out in front of us.
If
or
you could
have done them so many times, we've done them by memory.
If you could read it off a piece of paper, that's what you'd be doing. And so this is your way of reading.
Right.
I don't consider it cheating at all. My other phone's ringing. I think I'll ignore it.
You're a popular fella, huh?
Well, no telling who it is. Luann gets lots of calls on her line because they get confused with her office number, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are in the middle here of getting this key lime pie together. Now,
this
is a recipe sent to us by Henry. And, Henry, condolences to you and your family, and you are definitely in our thoughts and prayers on the passing of your sister, Karen. She has had a kind of a long battle with cancer, and she finally it got the best of her. But we know that she's not suffering anymore, which I guess is one thing that we can look towards to comfort us a little bit. But now this key lime pie that Henry sent us is so easy, y'all. It takes 2 eggs. You want to put those in a bowl and kind of whisk them up to that. After you've got them beaten up and whisked up pretty well, you want to add 2 cans of sweetened condensed milk.
All right.
And then to that, I'm getting the rest of the milk out here.
Okay.
Sticking to the sides of the can.
Sweetened condensed milk.
And a little tip Henry gave us, if you want to make sure you get it all out, is to take the lime juice that we're going to add and kind of put it in the can and squish it around. That'll help loosen up and get the rest of that milk out.
Because it's very thick.
Yeah, real thick.
Yeah.
Then you want to add to that 1 cup of key lime juice. Now, if you want to use real key limes, it may take 24 to 30 key limes to squeeze the juice out of to make a cup. Or they also sell the juice already juiced.
Well, that's what you bought, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I bought.
I would think.
And take that key lime juice and dump it in. And it's 1 cup, 8 ounces. Key lime juice.
Combination.
Then we're going to take this, whisk it all together.
Combination of kiwi and lime, right?
Key lime is actually a particular, yeah. I'm not sure what a key lime comes from.
I always thought it was kiwi and lime. Someone will correct us if we're wrong, I'm sure.
Yeah, write us and tell us.
Yeah, let us know. Put us on the...
I'm just kind of whisking this all together to get it nice and thick. And then we're going to dump it into a graham cracker crust. Now, if you want to make your own graham cracker crust, you need to take about 1.5 cups of crushed graham crackers and about 1/2 cup of melted butter, combine those, and then take that and press it into the bottom of either a pie pan or an 8-inch or 8.5-inch springform pan, and come up with the sides about 1 inch or so. Then you want to bake it in a 350-degree oven for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes, until
uncovered,
it's nice and golden brown.
Uncovered, of course.
Now, another avenue that you can do is take Oreo cookies, crush those up, and use those instead of the graham crackers. Line the bottom of the pan with that. Now, if you use the Oreo cookies, you don't have to bake it. Or you can do like I did and just cop out and buy a pre-made graham cracker crust.
Go to the store and buy one.
At the store.
Yes. That would be my solution.
Okay. This is coming together nice. It's kind of got a thick texture to it.
All right. Are we going to bake this or what are we going
to? Yes, sir. We pop this in the oven at, well, I've got the turkey in there going at 350, so I'm going to add it to it.
Yeah, we'll have to cook
it at
350.
And we will put this in there for just about 10 minutes. Then you want to pull it out, let it cool for a little bit, and then refrigerate it for about 2 hours. After you refrigerate it for 2 hours, you pull it out. Had to get a little taste of it.
Sure.
And that is delicious. You can top it with, golly, just about anything you want. We are going to top ours today with dark chocolate. And we've got some Hershey's dark chocolate chips. We're just going to melt down a little bit later on.
Or you could just eat it like it is.
Could just eat it like it is. Or you could also add a whip, you know, whipped cream on top.
Sure. Cool whip.
A little meringue, whatever you want to do. Henry suggested this dark chocolate, and I thought, man, that would just sound really good. You know, a nice, rich, dark chocolate over the top of this delicious key lime.
Sounds wonderful to me.
I'm sorry?
I said, it sounds wonderful to me. I wish I was there.
I'm telling you, you're gaining weight already, right?
Yeah, just listen.
So much for your diet, Phil.
No, I've got to do it. I can't weigh this.
All right. We've got the pie in the oven.
Okay, 10 minutes.
Let me set this
set a
cool
timer.
Little talking timer I've got.
Now, you've got a timer set on the turkey. Have you got two timers, I guess?
I've got actually the timer on the turkey is in my head. I know we popped it in about 10:30, 10:45.
Yeah?
And I'm figuring 3 hours, so I'm going to check it about 1:30, 1:45.
Okay. All right, so we're setting a timer for the pie. We only want to do it 10 minutes in 350-degree oven because everything in it is... Okay, I got you.
All right, we're off and rolling.
Now, the only problem with that timer is you don't know where you are.
Right?
You've got to wait for it to tell you.
Yeah, this one will have to tell you where you're at.
One just
it actually
like...
gives you a countdown.
Yes.
It'll give you a countdown at 7 minutes, 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 1 minute, and in the last minute, it will count off every 10 seconds.
Yeah,
which is pretty nice.
Yeah, but if you're doing 30 minutes, you don't have any idea where you are. You get to 10 minutes.
No, you sure don't. It doesn't give you. That's one thing I wish that little thing had was a little reader or a little button you could push that would tell you, you know, kind of like a talking clock.
Or like the Radio Shack watch he's got.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, here, you're at this time, you know, you've got
well,
so
we are.
Time
let's
left.
See, let's see how far we are in the show.
Let's
see how far we are in the show. We're at
43 minutes, 30 seconds.
All right, clear a little space out here.
43 minutes, 30 seconds into the first hour, sir.
Okay.
All right.
Tell you what, let's go ahead and highlight the bread recipe, and I'll make that during our little break between the shows.
Okay. All right, sir.
The bread is so simple, y'all. It is 3 cups of self-rising flour, 1 cup of sugar, and 1 beer. Well, maybe 2 beers, one for you and one for the bread.
What kind of beer?
Any kind of beer.
Yeah.
Domestic, imported.
Whatever.
Whatever. I'm going to be using Bud Light today.
So one for you and one for the bread.
One for the bread.
All right.
Mix these all up together.
Okay.
Leave it in the bowl and cover it. Let it double in size. Bring it down. Bring it. You know, get it back out. Kind of beat it down, and then let it sit until it doubles in size again, and you're ready to go. Pop it in a bread pan if you want, and bake it that way. I'm going to divide mine into rolls. And put them in a greased muffin pan, and let them. After I beat it down, then we will divide it into probably make 2 dozen rolls. So I've got 2 muffin pans ready to go, greased and sitting there waiting.
And then
we'll let it once it doubles in size, we'll throw those in the oven and bake them at 375 for just about 50 minutes.
And you'll do that. You probably go ahead and make this, and then bake them just before the meal,
What we plan to do is, you can take your if your turkey is done ahead of time, and like if your oven's like ours, I mean, by the time we get this bird in here, that's pretty much about all the room we've got in there is for the turkey.
Yeah.
You can take the turkey out, and if it's if you're out, you know, an hour ahead of time before you eat, wrap the turkey up in foil, cover it up with foil, and it'll stay nice and warm for about an hour. You want to let the turkey rest after it cooks for anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes anyway before you carve it.
I didn't know
let
that.
Let it finish cooking. You know, the internal heat will help keep cooking through. The juices will settle.
Sure.
Things like that.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, I wasn't either. I learned a lot getting ready for this show about cooking and the frosting of the birds and even carving techniques.
You actually had someone read you the instructions.
Yes. Yes, and I got on to I got in contact with Butterball, y'all, and
yeah.
They're online at butterball.com.
Uh-huh.
They have an email help list or an 800 number, 1-800-BUTTERBALL.
Is it pretty easy? Is Square Reader friendly?
I mean, very friendly. I mean, I wrote to them, you know, requesting a Butterball, you know, to see if they would send us a turkey for the show,
uh-huh.
And they told us that they weren't the ones that did that, but they forwarded the information to Becky at their promotions area. She wrote back, was more than happy to donate it, and had a you know, within probably 3 or 4 days of conferring with her, I had a coupon in my hand for a free Butterball for the show.
So but Don should do this on Blind Sites for Thanksgiving, the Butterball turkey location.
I'm sorry,
Don Shaw should do this as a one of his Blind Sites.
He sure could.
He
it's
could
very, and there are lots of recipes, lots of ideas on the website, you know, for Butterball, and yeah, it's really a nice site. It serves very well.
Good.
I use Jaws 5.0, and man, I had no problems getting in, getting out. The
mm-hmm.
people were fantastic. Even when I've called the helpline with certain questions, you know, I even asked them about doing, you know, making sure that everything was square up on roasting this turkey in the cooking bag,
mm-hmm.
just simply so you wouldn't have to pull it out and baste it and put it back in. And I mean, let's face it, that's the best way to do the turkey, but, you know, it's kind of difficult for a blind person to be, you know, in and out of the oven all the time and, you know, worrying, hey, don't burn yourself. And by doing it this way with a cooking bag, put it in, let it go. That's
yeah,
the way to go.
I guess my mother, as I remember, used to, you know, halfway through, she'd take them out and baste them and fool with them. And nowadays, you just put them in that cooking bag and go on, don't you?
Yeah, sure do. And, you know, and using the paper bag idea, that's great. I've never done that. But I tell you, one way I really want to do it is the way Vicky Jack suggested.
The roasting?
You know, by roasting it with the steam roasting it. It stays
yeah.
nice and juicy, and then you've got plenty of leftover juice for gravy and stuff. But, I mean, all in all, though, Phil, I think the way I like a turkey the best is deep fried. I don't know if anybody's ever had one deep fried, but it's deep fried in peanut oil. It fries, basically you fry it for about 3 minutes and 45 seconds a pound.
Yeah.
That's how you estimate your cooking temperature. And when it comes out, you need to wrap it up in foil and let it sit for about 30 minutes, if you can stay away from it. But my goodness, it is so, so delicious.
Well, that's pretty much, I mean, you got to have a thing to do that in.
Yes.
You've got to have
a big enough pot. You've got to have the cooking stand. You know, you do it outside with a big propane burner and
got
stuff.
Got to be done outside. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got the rig or the area or the setup,
yeah.
you know, you really do need sighted help with that, too. That's a lot of hot grease. You don't want to accidentally knock that pan off on top of you or anything like that, or just getting close enough to find it. Sometimes you run a chance of burning.
That would be pretty. Of course, I'm sure there are blind people who cook fish in hot grease all the time. But
yeah.
that would be. Don't try this at home. Kids.
This, the turkey, it's kind of difficult because it's not, you know, a lot of times that turkey's too big to put in a fish basket or something and pull out.
Yeah, with fries.
And a lot of times they use a big old fork they stab the inside of it with and lift it out with it. So, but hey, you know, what the heck, if you want to try it, call us. I'll be there to eat.
Oh, but if you try it, let us know, and we'll have you on a show, and you can tell us about it.
Exactly. That would be great. The other great way to do it, you know, is smoking it.
Well,
the smoking is, in fact, I was going to smoke it, but I got to thinking, you know, there's probably not a lot of folks that have the smoker or the ability to smoke it.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, let's do it in the oven. Let's do it, the traditional way first. And because smoking it's nothing to it. Put it on the smoker, and I've got an electric smoker. If you've got the wood burning smoker, I'm sure you're an expert at knowing what you need to keep it at a certain temperature during the day. And basically, you put the bird on, let it smoke for 6 or 8, 10 hours, usually about 30 to 40 minutes a pound. Take it off and phew, it's good.
Or you can call the Greenberg Turkey people in Tyler and buy a smoked turkey.
Yes.
Which is what we do every year.
All right.
And
now that's the way to do it. I bet those are delicious.
Oh, man. They're, I look forward to it. My favorite part of Thanksgiving is having a beer with my father-in-law and cutting up that turkey, taking the meat off that turkey.
Now, have you ever had a turducken?
No, have not.
That would be pretty interesting. I've never had one either, but everybody that's had them say they are just delicious.
How are they done?
I believe they are baked. But it's a duck inside a chicken inside a turkey.
I've heard about it.
And the best, I don't even know, I've never even heard of anybody preparing them. I've always heard of them just buying them already prepared. So, wow, that way you can get all three types of fowl right there ready to go.
This is the conventional way. We're cooking turkey
in
the oven.
Yeah, got a turkey in the oven at 350 in a baking bag. We've got it stuffed with an all-American, all-cooking-in-the-dark stuffing. We've got a crock-pot stuffing going. We've got a key lime pie in there that's about ready to be pulled out. And during the break, I'm also going to go ahead and whip up the pecan pie we're going to make and the chocolate raspberry almond cheesecake. And I'll tell you what I'll do is real quickly just go over the recipe and the directions for these two items.
That's probably a good idea. We've got about 8 minutes left in this hour.
I think we can fill that up right now.
Okay, go ahead.
The cheesecake, you want about a 9.5-inch a 9-inch springform pan. You want to take about a teaspoon of butter and coat the bottom of the springform pan with it. And then you want to spread about a cup of sliced or crushed almonds on the bottom. The cheesecake itself is 4 packages of cream cheese, 1 pound of chopped chocolate. And what I did was just got a big 1 pound Hershey's bar, 1/3 cup of milk, 2 tablespoons of raspberry liqueur, 4 eggs, 1 egg yolk.
Okay.
And then you can use some chocolate leaves if you want, some sifted powdered sugar, some sifted cocoa, any of that to decorate the cake afterwards.
Uh-huh.
What you want to do is take the chocolate and melt it either in a saucepan on your stove on low, stirring it constantly, or in the microwave. I've melted mine in the microwave. I'm waiting on it right now, or waiting to do this. Then you want to add the chocolate to the cream cheese. You also need to have about 1/2 stick or so of butter that's softened.
All right.
I forgot to mention that.
Which
can
be
done. Bowl along with the milk, all the ingredients.
Uh-huh.
Beat it on medium with a blender. You do not want to add the egg or the egg yolk yet. You want to mix all these ingredients first, then come back on low and mix in the eggs, both the whole eggs and the egg yolk.
Uh-huh.
Once we get all that mixed up, then we will take it and just simply dump it into the springform pan and cook it at, whoop.
Your timer
pie is ready to be taken
that's
out
what
of
I was hearing. I kept,
sounding.
Kept hearing something in the background. I couldn't figure what it was. It's your timer. Yeah.
I had to find it. Where is it at? Yeah, I've got a friend that loves that little thing. Or it's a friend of Skyler's that comes down, and he'll set that timer, and then next thing you know, the horn's going off. Hey, come back, Shane.
Yeah.
Where is it at? Then he moves it all over the place, which makes it kind of difficult to find, too.
Yeah, I'd put it on top of the fridge where he couldn't get it. I'm sorry. I don't like for people to move my stuff.
That's a good idea.
Put it on the fridge.
That's a good idea.
My grandkids spent all weekend hunting Pawpaw's hand exerciser. I offered a $5 reward, and they finally found it late last night before I took them home. They lost it, but I wanted it back. I offered a $5 reward for cash reward for the guy that found it. One of them finally found it for me.
You know, if you keep offering that reward, they're
going
to start hiding stuff on purpose.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. They might.
You'll be paying for their college.
Well,
yeah.
That's all right.
Now, this cheesecake, once we get everything all mixed up, the raspberry liqueur and the eggs and everything, get it all mixed and blended and poured into the springform pan, you want to bake it for about 35 to 40 minutes in a 350-degree oven. Pop it back out. Let it cool for about 15 minutes. And then take a butter knife or a metal spatula and kind of cut around the edge of the cake, kind of separating it from the sides of the springform pan.
Okay.
Let it cool for about another 30 minutes. Release the springform pan, undo the little clasp. The ring will open up. You can pull the sides of it off. Once you pull the sides of it off, let it cool for about another hour. Cover it and refrigerate it for about 4 hours.
Well, now, wait a minute. This is a pan that can, I'm maybe not familiar with this springform.
A spring foil pan is similar to a pie pan, with the exception the sides of it open. It's kind of like a ring that actually has a clasp that pulls it tight
together
around.
Okay.
And the bottom fits into a groove in it.
Okay.
Around the bottom lip, and it actually holds the pressure of the ring around the bottom pan.
I got you.
Holds everything together.
So it can't leak.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you do cook it in there, probably would be a good idea to put it on a shallow baking pan, a cookie sheet, something in case anything does tend to leak out. You know, it won't get all over your oven and such.
Yeah.
But generally, they're not supposed to leak.
Okay, I've never seen one.
It kind of allows you the ability, instead of like removing a cake from a cake pan, you've got to turn it upside down. This keeps that from happening because the sides actually, when you release that clasp, the sides expand, open up enough to where you can just lift the ring right off the cake, and you're still left with the bottom in place.
What a deal.
They're pretty nice. They're usually sold in sets of three, like an 8-inch, a 9-inch, and a 10-inch, or an 8.5-inch, a 9.5-inch, or a 10.5-inch. We saw them at Target and Walmart both for like $9.99.
Well,
they're not that
you.
Expensive, but they're really nice. Really nice pans to have.
I got
to
have one of those.
Yeah, it's on my Christmas list, too. I borrowed these for the show.
Oh, you borrowed those for the show?
Yeah, I borrowed these.
Well,
I did get a bundt cake pan for my birthday, which I thought, hey, all right.
So
Tyler and I've already whipped up a couple cakes in it. I just like cooking cakes in a bundt cake pan. They're really nice.
Which reminds me, when I was single, I used to know that I needed to clean up the kitchen when I was eating cereal out of my bundt pan.
Right.
That's a sure tip-off that there's a problem. It must be raining because the satellite's out. We are about through with this hour, sir. Now, obviously, we aren't doing all this. Obviously, we're going to have to take a break and come back. So we want to come back and do a little check-in and then come back and take the turkey out. Is that kind of what you're
talking about? Yeah, I think we come back in about an hour and a half real time. And just kind of do maybe a little 5 or 10 minute blurb there and check the turkey and see how the pies and everything else are coming along. And then we'll come back when the turkey is done, pull it out, wrap it up, and get the side items all in the oven ready to go.
Let me get out of this hour, and you just hang on a second, okay?
All right.
We are doing Cooking in the Dark on the Blind Handyman Show today, so in case you think you've tuned in the wrong thing, you haven't. This is the Blind Handyman, but we're doing two hours of, I guess, Blind Like Me. Call it what you want. We're Cooking in the Dark, and we're going to be back probably in about 3 minutes. So you just hang on, and we'll do more Cooking in the Dark, all right?